Hello, this is Lois Pausch reading the Vermilion County News for Friday, July the 7th, 2017. And the first article has the headline, Illinois House Overrides Veto. The Illinois House voted Thursday to override Governor Bruce Rauner's vetoes of a budget package, giving the state its first spending blueprint in more than 2 years, and ending the nation's longest fiscal stalemate since at least the Great Depression. The budget is retroactive to July 1st, the start of the fiscal year. That's the date a permanent 32% tax increase takes effect. Individuals will pay 4.95% instead of 3.75%. The corporate rate jumps to 7% from 5.25%. Rauner vetoed the measures because he sees no indication that the Democratic-controlled legislature will send him the structural changes he's demanded. Those include a statewide property tax freeze, cost-cutting restrictions on compensation for injured workers, changes to pension benefits for state employees, and reforms making it easier for voters to merge or eliminate local governing bodies. The standoff has had potentially disastrous side effects. Credit rating houses threatened to downgrade the state's creditworthiness to junk, signaling to investors that buying Illinois debt is a highly speculative venture. The bond houses predicted a downgrade without a fix by the July 1st start of the fiscal year. The third consecutive fiscal year, Illinois has opened without an approved budget plan. But Fitch Ratings and S&P Global Ratings gave Illinois some breathing room on Monday, issuing notices marking the House tax increase approval a day earlier and indicating they wouldn't take immediate downgrade action. Government has limped along for 2 years on the strength of court-ordered spending, but the state comptroller says the Treasury will be $185 million short of what's needed to cover basic services by August. With a $6.2 billion annual deficit and $14.7 billion in overdue bills, the United Way predicts the demise of 36% of all human service agencies in Illinois by year's end. Billions of dollars in road construction work is shutting down. Public universities have been cut to the bone and face a loss of academic accreditation. The budget bills are SB 6 and SB 9. And now a short article with the headline, Free Workshop Offered on Monday. Dateline Danville. The Danville Art League will offer from 6 to 9 p.m. a free workshop on how to use foam forms and texturing techniques to create clay dishes and bowls. Robbie Rue will be the instructor. A 45-minute demonstration on using various forms and textures will be followed by a 30-minute demo of how to stain a bisque-fired pottery piece. There is no need to register for the workshop. People may stop by the league building at 2320 North Franklin Street at 6 p.m. Monday. And the next article has the headline, Local Officials React to Budget Vote. Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower outlined what the new Illinois state budget could mean to the city to aldermen this week. The budget includes a 10% reduction in local government distributive fund payments in state fiscal year 2018 and the direct deposit of those funds into the local government distributive fund instead of the money first passing through the general revenue fund. This will result in municipalities and counties receiving two accelerated payments, one time only, for a total of 14 LGDF payments instead of 12, despite the 10% cut. Local governments should see a slight increase in distributions for this 1 year, as long as the state has the cash flow, Eisenhower said. The LGDF is comprised of the state income tax and corporate replacement tax. A 10% reduction in the state income tax would be about $314,500 of the approximately $3.1 million the city receives. The corporate replacement tax reduction would be about $180,500 of the $1.8 million the city receives. But with 14 payments, the city would see an increase of $742,500, making a one-year benefit of $247,500. There also will be a new 2% local sales tax collection administration fee on behalf of municipalities by the state. This fee will cost the city $168,137, according to Eisenhower. Full funding still is expected for motor fuel tax funds, video gaming, use tax, and 9/11 system funds. Local transportation infrastructure projects also would have fundings, which means the Danville High School Shared Use Project, PATH project, could resume. Danville Mass Transit funding is appropriated in the same amount that was appropriated in the stopgap budget at about 65% of funding. Some unknown impacts include with the corporate personal property replacement tax diversions and any other possible legislation for a property tax freeze. Eisenhower said, while the state budget might not have a significant financial impact on this fiscal year's city budget, the city could lose $700,000 or more next fiscal year. And for Vermillion County, Vermillion County Board Chairman Mike Maron said of the proposed budget, all indications are that it's going to reduce our share of local income taxes, which will affect the county's revenues. He added county officials keeping a close eye on monitoring that. Obviously, we are going to have to do some evaluating to figure out how to handle it, Maron continued, and see where we can make cuts. One nice thing, he said, was that the county does have some reserves since they've been fiscally responsible, and that puts this county in a little better position than others. Maron also said those reserves would allow for any changes to be made gradually. In addition to seeing where cuts can be made, he said the county is also looking at how they can operate more efficiently. And DACC, Tammy Clark Betancourt, Vice President of Finance at Danville Area Community College, says she hopes the college will receive enough state money to erase this year's projected deficit and to fully fund the college in fiscal year 2018. We don't know the exact amount for 2017, but we're hopeful we'll receive enough money to eliminate the projected 17 deficit and allow us not to have a deficit for 2018, she said. The lack of a state budget in 2015 created a $2.1 million deficit in fiscal year 2016 at DACC, according to Clark Betancourt. By the time 2016 rolled around, Clark Betancourt was prepared. We budgeted for a $1.3 million deficit in 2017. Clark Betancourt, however, doesn't believe the new state budget includes any money to cover the deficit created in fiscal year 2016 that was payable in 2015. 2016 is done, she said. To cover the revenue deficit for nearly 3 years, Clark Betancourt said, we've been borrowing from working cash and eventually we will pay that back. DACC received two stopgap measure payments in February 2016 for $900,000, which was less than a quarter of the $4 million allocation the college expected to receive from the state, and the other in September 2016 for $1.8 million. And now District 118 schools. Superintendent Alicia Gaddis said that the state owes $4.4 million to Danville District 118 just for fiscal year 2017. We had to move money from our reserves to cover the bill, she said. Gaddis added she has no information on how much state funding the district expects to receive in 2018. The total the state owes the school district is missed and prorated payments spanning nearly 3 years is a significant number, Gaddis said, although she did not have an exact amount. We received the second of four categoricals on June 23rd, she said, referring to the state payments that cover the district's annual transportation and special education costs. The third categorical payment will come in the next fiscal year, she said. And the next article has the headline, Nobody Will Ever Fill His Shoes, Dateline Hoopston, Honor, Pride, Duty. They're the pillars of the Hoopston Police Department, and no one embodied those values quite like the organization's leader, friends, and colleagues said Thursday. Mark took a lot of pride in protecting the town, Brad Burton said of Police Chief Mark Drollinger, a close friend since junior high. He was always willing to do what anybody needed. He was just top-notch all the way around, Sergeant Jim DeWitt said, adding his friend and boss remained dedicated to the job and community even as he battled stage 4 cancer. Nobody will ever fill his shoes. The police chief for 18 years, Mr. Drollinger, also a former Vermilion County Sheriff's Deputy and Vermilion County Board Member, lost his battle on Thursday morning. He was 54. Lifelong friend Rod Cagg can't remember a time when he didn't know Mr. Drollinger, who was a year younger. They started out playing on a little league team that Mr. Drollinger's dad, Ralph, coached. They played football together at Hoopston High School, rode their bikes all over town, then cruised once they got their driver's licenses. As adults, they served together on the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. They also played golf together on Sunday mornings and were part of a golf foursome at Hubbard Trail. Burton and Mr. Drollinger met in the 7th grade and also became fast friends through Little League. At 13, Burton became an unofficial member of the Drollinger family after Ralph invited him along on a trip to Florida. He said, "All you have to do is buy your plane ticket," Burton said, recalling how the older Drollinger explained that if he purchased a ticket, family members could fly for $50. "So I was Brad Drollinger for a week." Later, he accompanied the younger Drollinger on his adventures, many of them spontaneous. "He was always game for everything," Burton said, recalling how he dropped by one day and said, "Let's go for a ride." They picked up another friend and headed to Kings Island. "We had no clothes or anything and went to Cincinnati for the weekend." They took fishing trips, NASCAR trips, and one to the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Possibly their greatest adventure, stints in the Air Force. After graduating from high school in 1981, Mr. Drollinger, then 18, planned to enlist. Burton said he somehow managed to talk him into going to see the recruiter with him. "I went down and listened to their spiel and kind of got hooked," Burton said with a laugh. While they hoped to go in together through the buddy program, they ended up going in 3 months apart. Mr. Drollinger was on active duty in Nevada from 1982 to 1985 and in the reserves until 1988. Burton went in 3 months later and served in Arizona. In the service, Mr. Drollinger was a military police officer and also studied criminal justice at the University of Las Vegas, Nevada, during that time. Cagg believes that experience, along with his respect for his dad, longtime Hoopston Police Chief Orville Cagg, now retired Sheriff's Captain Gary Miller, and Hoopston officer turned Sheriff's Deputy turned Federal Agent Donnie York, inspired his friend to pursue a career in law enforcement. After a short stint as a police officer in Vermont, Mr. Drollinger returned to his hometown and joined the Sheriff's Department in 1985. He quickly moved from patrol to the investigation division and worked with Miller. "I knew he would be a good police officer, and he didn't disappoint me," said Miller, who recommended him to then-Sheriff Gene Hughes. "He was a very good investigator," added Cagg, who joined the team a couple of years after Mr. Drollinger. "He was a hard worker, and he wouldn't give up on a case. Professionally, he'll be remembered as a good officer in each of the positions he had," Miller said. "Socially, he'll be remembered for his quick wit. He was a fun-loving guy." DeWitt met Mr. Drollinger in 1997 when he asked for assistance on a case. At the time, he was a Rossville police officer, and Mr. Drollinger was the elder abuse investigator for the Sheriff's Department. "He did a superb job," DeWitt recalled. He was honored when, in April 1999, Drollinger, then police chief, asked him to join the department. "When Mark came here, he brought integrity back to Hoopston," DeWitt said, adding that he earned the respect of staff, city leaders, and residents, as well as other law enforcement agencies he worked with. "He led by example," DeWitt continued, adding he didn't ask his officers to do anything he wouldn't do, and often did alongside them. DeWitt credited Mr. Drollinger with beefing up training, updating computers and other equipment, even improving the report writing system. "This was one of his well-known traits," DeWitt said. "He was very meticulous. You dotted all your I's and crossed your T's with the chief. It was important to him that we went to court and looked good." In March 2016, Mr. Drollinger was on patrol when he got a call from his doctor's office. He had a tumor on his jaw. Mr. Drollinger told the News Gazette he had experienced a pain on the right side of his mouth, but chalked it up to an abscessed tooth. A dentist pulled the tooth, but the pain persisted and spread to his tongue. After a series of tests, he learned he had stage 4 cancer. Mr. Drollinger was shocked because he had never smoked or chewed tobacco. However, he had beaten testicular cancer as a teen and remained optimistic he would beat it again. Nearly a year ago, on July 9th, he had surgery to remove the tumor. Soon after, he started radiation and chemotherapy at the Babette Steele Hegler Cancer Center at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. He was back to work in October, though his advisors advised him to wait until the first of the year. Throughout all of this, he continued coming to work and doing what he could, said DeWitt, who doesn't like to say he took over the chief's duties, but only that I helped him out. A lot of it was in the office, even though he wanted to be in his car fighting crime with us, the sergeant said. Mr. Drollinger was devastated when the cancer returned this year, and said CAG, who retired from the sheriff's department in 2015. But he said his friend continued to fight it with dignity and grace, and he was buoyed by the support of his family. New bride Susie, father and stepmother, son and stepson, and friends who rallied around him. He was very headstrong, CAG said, adding he reported to duty even on his worst days. Mr. Drollinger also continued to play golf when he could. Whenever he felt good enough to play, we would go play no matter what we had going on, CAG said. Adding his last event was the Iroquois County Sheriff's Officers annual outing a month ago. He was tired and he didn't hit some of the holes, but he wanted to play. Mr. Drollinger went into the hospice 2 weeks ago. CAG and Burton were among those who visited him and his wife every day. He passed away peacefully at his home. A few days prior, signs simply stating "Thank you, Chief" started appearing on the McFerrin Park billboard, the Lorraine Theater marquee, and outside local restaurants and businesses. "I wish Mark could have gotten out to see the signs," Susie Drollinger posted on Facebook on July 4th, writing that her husband was totally overwhelmed by the outpouring of support he received. He would have been humbled beyond words. And now the obituaries. And the first is for Roger, quote-unquote, Bruce Thornton, 70, of Danville, who died on Thursday, June 29th, at Presence USMC in Danville. Per his wishes, he was cremated and his ashes will be interred with his mother in Spring Hill Cemetery. A time for fellowship and sharing of memories is planned for 6 to 7 p.m. Saturday, July 8th, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville. And the next is for Stephen W. Troxell, 57, of Hoopston, who died at 4:46 a.m. on July 4th at his home. Per his wishes, cremation rites will be accorded. A graveside service will be held at 12:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 11th at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston, with Pastor Jeff Alexander officiating. Memorials may be made to Hoopston Community Church of the Nazarene, 402 East Honeywell Avenue, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. And the next is for Raymond Floyd Nimrick, 74, of Tilton, who died on Tuesday, July 4th at Presence United Samaritans Hospital in Danville. A visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday, July 9th at Sunset Funeral Home, 3940 North Vermillion Street, Danville, with a private family service at a later date. Burial will be at Sunset Memorial Park. Roy's family asked that memorials be made to the Second Church of Christ, 3350 East Voorhees Street, Danville, or Vermillion County Animal Shelter at 14775 Catlin Tilton Road, Danville. And the next is for Monty Reed, 62, of Danville, who died on Thursday, July 6th, in the comfort of his home in Indian Springs, Danville. A celebration of life service will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Memorial Park in Danville on Saturday, July 8th, at 6 p.m., with visitation prior from 4 to 6 p.m. And the next is for Marilyn Cox, who died on July 6, 2017. As per her wishes, she will be cremated. No services will be held. In lieu of flowers, please make contributions to the Alzheimer's Association at alz.org or Carl Hospice. And now, an article with the headline, Council Awarded Property in Eminent Domain Case. Dateline Danville. The city has been awarded property in an eminent domain case in part of Phase 2 of the Danville High School Shared Use Path Project that includes a roundabout at Jackson and English Streets. Construction could start on the roundabout next spring. Ward 3 Alderwoman Sherry Pickering asked at Wednesday's Danville City Council meeting about a bill for $1,012.50 for professional services from Cunningham Incorporated for the Fairchild Bike Path. Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnelli said the city was awarded the vacant lot owned by Alan Dixon at 1014 North Jackson Street for $1,400. The original appraisal was $1,200. Schnelli said an agreement also had been reached for 178 square feet of permanent easement and 102 square feet of temporary easement at 1017 North Jackson Street, owned by Jorge E. Rubio and Maria J. Rubio, for the planned roundabout at Jackson and English Street and Danville High School shared use path improvements. In addition to some right-of-way needed, acquiring the property at 1017 North Jackson Street means the closure of a driveway on the property, Schnelli said. He said they will submit final plans to the Illinois Department of Transportation for review. City officials said lawsuits will be filed after the property owners didn't accept offers and negotiations ceased. The council last year heard from attorney Kevin Dixon, son of one of the property owners, Alan Dixon, who said his father doesn't want to delay and stop the project, but work with the city for fair compensation for the property. Also Wednesday, Mayor Scott Eisenhower removed from the city council agenda a collective bargaining agreement and side agreement to the collective bargaining agreement with International Association of Firefighters Local 429. Eisenhower said the firefighters' union had not approved the items. The union's attorney is out of the country and has not reviewed the language, he said. The city is in arbitration with Danville Mass Transit employees who are arbitrating discipline, according to Eisenhower. The city also is in contract negotiations with police command, public works laborers, and inspectors. In other business Wednesday, council members approved applying for a COPS grant for three police officers. The federal grant would cover 75% of the cost of officer salaries and benefits up to $125,000 per officer for 3 years. Danville Budget Director Gail Lewis said the city doesn't have to retain them after the 3 years. However, Mayor Scott Eisenhower said these officers would be filling vacancies in the police department, and city funding for them would come from what's already been budgeted. Eisenhower said two police officers resigned to go to the Illinois State Police. One resigned due to duty disability, and additional resignations could occur. The most we could be approved for is three, Eisenhower said of the competitive grant program. Some aldermen suggested the city apply for up to five officers, but city officials said they could only apply for up to three officers based on the police department size. The number of officer positions equal to 5% of actual sworn force strength. The city also is to identify a specific crime and disorder problem / focus area and explain how the cops' funding will be used to implement community policing approaches to that problem / focus area. Additional consideration will be given to applicants who select the following problem focus areas: violent crime, homeland security problems, or illegal immigration, according to the U.S. Department of Justice website. Pickering also told city officials the city could apply for a staffing for adequate fire and emergency response that's a safer grant to hire more firefighters. She also questioned the impact to pensions with the police officer hirings. They also amended a contract for a community development block grant housing rehabilitation project at 501 North Griffin Street. City officials awarded a $13,708 contract for work to Home Improvements Unlimited Inc. A change order was proposed by the contractor to address substructure deficiencies uncovered during the work, including replacement of all sheathing of the roof area, replacing rotten front porch rafters, and replacing the Bi-Tech roofing on the back porch area. City staff reviewed and agreed with the additional work. The additional cost was $10,502. Authorize the continued acceptance of credit card transactions for fees, fines, and permits, but no longer for taxes. Learned about Moody's Investor Service downgrading the city's General Obligation Unlimited Tax (GALT) rating from A1 to B2A2, and Moody's assigning a negative outlook. The city has $5.3 million in GALT debt outstanding. The downgrading primarily reflects steady growth in the city's unfunded pension burden. They say we need to put $2.4 million more into pensions, Eisenhower said. And the next article has the headline, Hoopston Council OKs Land Sale. Dateline Hoopston. The city has several municipal properties that soon will be up for sale. One property was discussed at Wednesday's council meeting. Ora J. Bayer's remaining 4.4 acres located on southwest corner Illinois Routes 1 and 9 soon will be for sale, since it is no longer necessary or in the best interest of the city to maintain it. Council members passed an ordinance unanimously authorizing and directing the sale of the property. Bids will go out next week, according to the city attorney. A public hearing for the property will begin at 6:45 p.m. July 18th, before the regular council meeting. Compliance officer Mike Bain presented the council and mayor with a list of businesses that were inspected by himself and retired brick mason Tom Fortier, who had concerns about the safety of the buildings. The buildings are located on Main, Penn, and Market streets. Bain said three of the businesses have been turned over to the Vermilion County Land Bank. Two of the businesses have owners who are deceased, and Bain will work with the heirs for a solution. Several buildings, he added, need tuck pointing, rotting framework replaced, upper covering fixed, openings in the wall, windows, and air conditioning units covered to prevent birds and stray people from entering the buildings. One person, he said, will be in court this month regarding one of the buildings. Two businesses not in the downtown area also have severe problems that Bain is working to find a solution to with the owners. In other council business, Alderman Brandon Hamilton was informed that golf carts are driving after dark without lights. Anyone driving a golf cart after dark without lights, Hamilton said, will receive a citation and possibly lose the privilege of driving a golf cart in Hoopston. Working lights are required on all golf carts after dark. Two young men were approved unanimously as new auxiliary officers for the city, Nicholas Howell of Rossville and Noah Howell of Hoopston. Council members learned the water tower and groundwater tanks are due for their three-year inspection in August. The tower will be taken out of service for the inspection, according to Alderwoman Lurdine Florek, which might cause rust in the water at that time. She added that two water leaks have been repaired, one on Market Street and one by FMC. The next Hoopston Council meeting will be at 7 p.m. July 18th at City Hall, 301 West Main Street. This has been Lois Pausch reading from the Vermilion County News for Friday, July the 7th, 2017. I look forward to reading with you again soon.